who joins us by phone. Chris, how are you?
Good. I don't know how I follow that, but thanks for having me.
But you know what November 29th means, and you're not saying anything, are you?
No, I'm not.
Why does he feel like he should break it?
That's between you and he.
I hear you. So, Chris, I keep hearing this rumor that Alabama and Auburn in a newly realigned SEC are headed to the East. Is that what you're hearing?
I have not dug in on it lately. I mean, look, gosh, it changes so quickly. Like, we've gone from pods, we've heard ACC-SEC merger. But, I mean, I think that makes a lot of sense if you're adding Oklahoma and Texas in the West, right?
Well, I mean, it would appear to. Do you think privately they already know? I mean, how does that work? Is there a... You may not know the answer. Is there a vote where Sankey walks in and says, okay, I want Alabama and Auburn to move? Who's with me?
I would presume they work that out privately among the athletic directors. It's the whole, you know, you don't want to ask a question on air or in a situation where you don't know the answer, right? I think that it's like the unanimous vote. With Texas A&M getting in, or with Texas getting in, right? You know good and well that Texas did not want that to happen, but at some point you got to get on board. I mean, I don't know. I've never given it much thought, but you would think that is one of these, all right, we figure out this behind closed doors and get everybody on board rather than open it up to what could be a contentious process.
I have also heard this rumor, Chris, that the SEC has asked the Predators to disband so that they can begin the postseason tournament in mid-January.
Why not, right?
How in the world are we headed to a point where with 16 teams that some teams will not be allowed in that tournament?
I don't know. I think in this, these things happen so quickly. I have heard so many rumors behind the scenes about what might happen or who's been asked and who hasn't been asked. My sense on this at some point, it's hard to know. These things can go in a million directions. I would like to give you a different answer, but I don't have any clue. It's changing so quickly and the numbers are so big. It's hard to comprehend.
Okay, let me try this one on you. You like these questions so far? These are questions you know full well nobody can answer. So the question is, why am I asking them? So,
right.
In your heart of hearts, does the SEC stop at 16 or do they attempt to get to, you know, into the 40s?
Well, look, at that point, it's not the SEC, right? It's what it is. It's a breakaway from the NCAA. So what I bet happens is I think to me the ACC-SEC merger to me is the thing that not merger but agreement, I guess, for lack of a better term. I don't know if this is making sense, but. The talk has been that the SEC and the ACC would join forces in a 32-team. You wouldn't call it a super conference, right? Because
a cartel.
I think the ACC is a cartel.
A cartel.
Yes. And maybe you've got the AFC and the NFC. You could have, you know, at that point, it looks like the NFL. You have 8 four-team divisions or pods or whatever you would like to call them. Then I guess you play one in your pod. So if you're Vanderbilt, you're in there with Alabama, Auburn, and Tennessee or whatever that looks like. And then maybe you play, you know, one team in another pod in the SEC every year, and then maybe one team from the ACC in their pod. I don't know how it shakes out, but like you heard today, who is it? The Big 12 and the Pac-12 were talking. I'm sure that the Big Ten has had discussions with somebody. I mean, George, the thing is, nobody wants to get just left in the dust on the TV revenues. And right. the SEC's got them, right? And if you get Texas and Oklahoma, I saw a thing that I think the Wall Street Journal put out this week, and Texas, believe it or not, has got a bigger brand, or their brand, or however you put it, the Texas football franchise, for lack of a better word, is worth more than Alabama's, which is hard to believe. I'm sure that's got a lot to do with population. And I know I'm rambling here, but the point to it is TV and market size is going to dictate all of this, and there's so much money in the SEC already, and now there's significantly more with adding those two schools. To me, that's just the race now. Everybody's trying to play catch up, and the SEC at this point seems to hold most of the cards. I mean, I would say that the schools out there that could add a lot of value would be, you know, Ohio State, Notre Dame, maybe Southern Cal, but the SEC holds most of the big cards, and everybody else right now is just trying to scramble to figure out what happens next. That's where we are. To me, the one, back to your original question, the thing that makes a lot of sense to me is an SEC-ACC partnership, because you've got geography, because if you've got some kind of agreement, right, all of a sudden it's a lot easier to sell TV for Georgia and, you know, fill in the blank, North Carolina, whoever, than it is Georgia and Furman. I think a lot of those games go away. You know, you get schools in the ACC or the SEC, like Vanderbilt suddenly has an opportunity to host Clemson. You know, Boston College might be hosting Alabama. You got all kinds of things in a partnership there with schedules and seeing matchups that wouldn't happen and bringing revenue to some smaller schools that need it. To me, I just think that's the one that makes the most sense that I've heard. I mean, you've also heard Florida State, Clemson. Frankly, I don't know that those, quote, franchises, if you call the football program and the athletic part of a franchise, don't seem to be worth as much as what the SEC is already adding with Oklahoma and Texas, and not even as much out there as some like Notre Dame. So to me, that's the one that makes the most sense, but goodness gracious, something could break overnight, and you hear this tomorrow, and I sound like an idiot. It changes so quickly.
Chris, because I've hogged so much time on this, if we need, can we bring you up for a little bit of the next segment?
You bet.
Excellent. Watson, say hello to Chris Lee.
Hey, Chris, are you still alive after those questions?
I think we're all in that world right now. But you know what? In all seriousness, it's hard to know how to answer these, but it's fascinating. We've never been through a time like this in college sports between name, image, and likeness. And it's just, to me, it is about as interesting a time as we've ever lived in college sports right now.
Chris, do you think that this will take place in a year? Do you believe that Oklahoma and Texas will be playing in 2022 in the SEC?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I guess the race is going to be, is the Big 12, does it have enough teams left to have standing to, you know, to sue Oklahoma or Texas or hold them liable for damages or hold them to their contract? Because you've got to have, what is it, six or eight teams? I don't remember what the number is. And once it falls below that, you don't have a conference anymore. You know, on one hand, you are, you know, let's just say TCU or Texas Tech, or pick a school in the Big 12. You're mad at Texas and Oklahoma for, in a way, for putting you in that position. But on the other hand, you're having that same conversation too, right?
Yeah.
Not just for survival purposes, but because, like, look, let's be honest. If West Virginia got offered that deal, or anybody who's got an issue with Texas or Oklahoma, you cannot tell me that any school in the Big 12 would not have taken that same deal. To me, the fascinating thing now is to find out what happens with the Big 12 while, in one sense, staying together, I guess, is the only reason that they get any recourse from this thing at a time where all of them are going, I don't want to be the last guy standing with a dance partner. So how that whole thing is navigated, to me, is fascinating.
Chris, I remember the toughest meetings I was ever in was when in Conference USA, and we lost Louisville, TCU, Cincinnati. I can't remember all. And then we put some other schools in, SMU, Rice, Houston. But the meetings that were the toughest were, okay, who's in what division? I'm telling you, those were tough meetings, and they were done with athletic directors. Then it had to go to the presidents. So I would bet this don't take place till at least we see meetings where the athletic directors are getting together. And if they were to put together a meeting this fall, look out, that's what they're doing. And, of course, now you can have the Zoom meetings. You can do it differently, too, so that could happen. But those were tough meetings now when you started. Who's what side are you on?
Well, and here's where I think it gets really tough, Watson. What if you were doing this 10 years ago for the SEC? Yeah. And you're saying, where do we put Arkansas? Arkansas at the time was a top 10, top 5 program at that point in time. If you do this 2 years ago, Arkansas is a team that hadn't won a conference game in, what, 2-plus years or whatever that losing streak was. And so that's a different conversation. I think you can look at some programs and you can say Alabama's always going to be great or good, and if they hit a rough spell, it's not going to be for long. You can probably make the same claim about Florida and Georgia and probably LSU now. But, I mean, what you get with Tennessee, for example, year to year, 25 years ago, you could argue Tennessee was the premier program in the country. We know what the last 15 years have been like for that. So, to me, that's the interesting thing is how you figure this out. Let's say you go by geography, but then you say, well, based on the way this is right now, this is really imbalanced. But then you go by the strength of the programs right now, and you say, well, you know, right now if we put Alabama over here or so-and-so over there, it could look out of balance. 5 years from now, it could look completely different. So, yeah, I can see that too, because I try to think, how would I handle that if I were a conference commissioner? And I don't know, geography is the thing that makes the most sense. But what happens if it, at the time you align by geography and it's way out of whack in terms of competitive balance? That's why Greg Sankey, I guess, will earn his money next year, among other things. I would, frankly, I'd say he already has, but that would be hard for me, too.
We have already started a fascinating conversation with Chris Lee from Southeastern 14. He's been gracious enough to agree to come back, and who knows, by the time we get this segment back, it may be Southeastern 18, for all we know. He may have changed the name in the next 4 minutes. We'll find out that and more when we come back. You are listening to the Plaster Radio Network. My buddy James Warren from Sir Speedy of Music City is with us. I was looking for a way a while back to get targeted messages to people who might be interested in listening to our daily show, and so I asked James for a little help. You take it from there.
So what we were able to do is come up with 7,000 names of people in Nashville and their addresses by zip code that are interested in spectator sports, football, baseball, that sort of thing. It was a pretty reasonable price too, wasn't it, George?
Yes, it was. I got the BGA discount.
Yeah, so in other words, twice the normal. This is something that we do for all sorts of folks. We can sort it by zip code, by type of people, age, whatever, to make it get to the people that you want to get to. If you've got a new business, no better way to do it.
Sir Speedy of Music City, phone number 832-9511, or go to SirSpeedyMusicCity.com.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-806-9554. 800-806-9554. 800-806-9554. That's 800-806-9554.
Award-winning Davidson Reserve Whiskey is the truest expression of what originally inspired Pennington Distilling Company, based in Nashville, to open a distillery in 2011. It's a reflection of Tennessee heritage that connects Tennessee to a long and storied history of distilling alcohol. Each expression is mashed, distilled, aged, and bottled right on site. Davidson Reserve takes pride in our craft, and we are honored to share it with you. Pick up a bottle of one of our award-winning Davidson Reserve whiskeys from your local retailer today. Award-winning Davidson Reserve Tennessee Whiskey is one of the world's first chances to experience and taste a small batch craft Tennessee whiskey. Taste this locally distilled, aged, and bottled spirit today. Award-winning Davidson Reserve Tennessee Whiskey.
Thinking about buying a home or refinancing? Lori Burnett Leland at MortgageLadyUSA.com can help. Listen to what other folks are saying about their experience. John in Birmingham says, quote, Lori helped me walk through each stage of the loan process and ensured I was comfortable with every step we made. She shared her wealth of knowledge and fielded all of my questions regarding my very first home purchase. She's the best. With the power of USA Lending behind her, and over 50 different bank options, Lori Burnett Leland wants to be your mortgage lady. Call her today at 615-969-4350 or visit MortgageLadyUSA.com. Equal housing opportunity, One Vantage Way, Nashville, Tennessee, NMLS number 1088591 and 45370. Licensed in Tennessee, Alabama, and Georgia.
This is the George Plaster Show. Call now, 844-5600 on WNSR Nashville Sports Radio.
2:42 and a really fascinating conversation with Chris Lee from Southeastern 14. Chris, I'm assuming it's still 14?
It is, but that could change tomorrow. Like everything else in the sports world, we have made some purchases ahead of time. In case this were to happen, we did it long before we ever thought about Texas and Oklahoma. But, I suspect when we're doing this a year from now, you'll be introducing me as Chris Lee from Southeastern 16.
Watson, say hello to Chris Lee from Southeastern 14-16.
14-?
Exactly.
The conference is already can't count, so is that really a prerequisite here, right?
That's right. That's exactly right. My other thing is a rumor that I heard, throwing out all the rumors, that football could be a two-division sport, but some of the other sports like baseball could be four-division sports. Have you heard that in any way?
No, I mean, football is going to be the thing that dictates everything. Look, to me, and this, I'll go back to what I said. This is why I like the 14 pod system, right? Because I think what you said in the conversation we got into about divisions and what that could do. Well, let's say you're Vanderbilt and you catch the East in a year where the East is really showing out, where you got Florida and Georgia's top five teams. Let's say Tennessee gets back to being a top 25 team. Let's say that, you know, we've seen South Carolina do that. We've seen Kentucky get very competitive. So the thing that I like about the pod system for football, and I realize I'm getting this off track a little bit, and maybe this is where some of the other sports go too, is I think the chance for extreme schedule imbalance gets diluted if you're playing three teams in your pod and then somebody over here and somebody over there and somebody over there and a couple of somebody's in the ACC and go on down the line. But to me, I don't know. It's still, look, you've got divisions in football and divisions in baseball and not divisions in basketball for reasons I don't totally understand. So trying to make sense of what they might do to me is never something I could follow. But if it's me, the 4-team pod idea to me is, if that's where it goes, that's the one I'm doing if I'm the commissioner, but I don't know what they'll do.
The one thing, and Terry, you got it after this, and I'll get you coming on this, Chris. The one reason I think it has to stay two, I don't see how they do a championship game with four. I don't know how you do that.
They'll figure it out for TV, because they always do. I mean, the one thing that I always, here's the irony about the Big 12, I always liked the way the Big 12 did it, because you had 10 teams, so you play everybody else 9 times. If that's not a fair representation of who your champion is, I don't know what is, because in the SEC, a lot of times you see the schedules get released and you're like, the thing you're looking for is, who do you not play from the other division? Would we avoid Alabama? Great. We can breathe a sigh of relief. And now it's going to be the same thing with Oklahoma, right? And so I think already a lot of things are determined by who you don't play. That's what I liked about the Big 12 system, is you played everybody, and to me there's a true champion. But what was funny is that because the Big 12 did it that way, everybody else had a championship game that you could sell for TV. And so the Big 12, despite it had the fact that it had, in my mind, an ideal system to determine a champion, you know, you look up and they're saying, well, we're just going to match 1 and 2 in the title game, even if one won it by a significant margin. You know, that's the way things go. It's TV and the dollars, and that's the one thing about it I don't like. But to me, again, that's why I go to the pod system, because it avoids some of that other stuff.
Terry?
Chris, first off, congratulations. Can you talk a little bit about the deal that you've got in place with Vandy quarterback Ken Seals?
Yeah, we have an agreement with Ken for a podcast deal. There may be some live broadcasts. One thing that we have entertained the thought of doing is trying to cut a deal with a restaurant or a sports bar or whatever, doing some of those appearances live and letting Ken meet the fans and sign autographs and things like that. That's something that he was very open to doing. He's very conscientious about his brand. And so I just think that this is one of those things in this new landscape. You know, we as guys who run rival sites, we're not just guys who write in podcasts. We're business guys, too. And that's a big part of your business. And to me, I look at this as an opportunity, as a business deal. And the starting point with I thought who we would get and would represent our brand well, he was the obvious guy from day one. And I was really thrilled we were able to make that happen as quickly as we did.
Congratulations on that. Want to get back into talking SEC and specifically the Texas-Oklahoma impact as far as they're coming to the conference. If you ask the football coaches, and I'm going to leave Vanderbilt out of the equation because we know that the uphill battle that they face every year in trying to compete in the SEC, but programs that have been really struggling to tread water, like Tennessee, South Carolina, Kentucky, Ole Miss, Mississippi State, the ones that really have not contended in a long time or maybe ever for a conference title, aside from the money they're going to make extra from the TV deal of bringing in Texas and Oklahoma, how do you feel like those programs are reacting to adding at least one more powerhouse in the Sooners and one that should be at one in Texas?
Oh, I think a lot of teams' reactions are different. I mean, you see, look, it's like you said, if you're one of those teams, right, you're already struggling to tread water. And that's one thing, and adding Texas and Oklahoma makes it tougher. Now, I will say adding those teams also strengthens the league's brand, and so maybe you get some indirect benefit in recruiting by recruits going and looking up and saying, you know, hey, I'm from Tulsa, and if I go to Knoxville, we get a chance to come home, you know, at some point maybe in my tenure and play them. So I think there's some ancillary benefit to it by the league's branding going up. I think so. If you're an AD, you look at that. I think if you are an athletic director and a president, obviously you're looking at the revenue. So I think to me, money is always what wins. I think that's why the conference has to be excited about this. But yeah, I mean, there's part of it too. If you're one of those teams, you're going, is the fact that conditions are going to get a lot tougher be the thing that makes or breaks the site? I think you see mixed reactions because there are benefits in other places, but some other places where obviously your schedule's got a whole lot tougher. And if you're a coach, you know, going into a contract year, and all of a sudden you look up and you've got Alabama and Oklahoma on your schedule, I'm sure that causes you some sleepless nights too.
Okay, got a little more than a minute. Quick question, quick answer.
Where do Texas, and I mean, we know a little bit about their basketball programs. Texas has been pretty good in recent years, or at least they were when Kevin Durant was there years ago. They've continued to be pretty decent. What are the other sports that Texas and Oklahoma have that will be competitive right away when they join the conference?
Well, Texas is great in baseball. Generally, it's won several national titles. It was one of the last four teams standing in Omaha. You know, I think Texas is going to be a top five team in baseball next year. So that's one. Basketball, of course, with Chris Beard now, I think we could look up 10 years from now and say Texas was a top five program over the last decade and won a national title or two. So, you know, for the ones that I cover, there's that. I mean, Oklahoma's been a power in softball, of course. Basketball's been a good program. It's been in the NCAA tournament in recent decades, probably more often than not. Lon Kruger did a really good job in getting them competitive and being there every year before he retired. Baseball for OU, they've been up and down, and that might be one of those ones that we talked about where the brand of the league has a chance to make you stronger and help you with your recruiting base, but the competition has potential to crush you. So to me, OU in basketball is really interesting because you've got a coaching change, you've got a team that's been good, but was middle of the pack there, and you got a baseball program that's been really good at times, but has struggled in recent years. And so,
hey, Chris, I got to stop you.
Yeah,
I got to stop you. Thank you for doing this.
You bet.
We got to go to the break. This is the Plaster.